Wait till I get to meet Mr. Doug Christie. He's a lawyer from British Columbia, actually from sedate old Victoria. Leader of the Western Canada Concept Party, founded it. You're really interested in this right to say what you like,
mm-hmm.
read what you like, print what you like.
Well,
even though various ethnic groups may say, hey, come on, you're perpetrating or sort of fomenting hatred.
Well, throughout history, it's been customary for many groups and individuals to take issue with somebody else's point of view, and if they could, eliminate it, silence it.
I think that first one must think, and having thought, speak out, because there is no purpose to life without being able to think and speak, and there is no more worthwhile pursuit in life than to seek the truth and then speak the truth. It is a reward in itself. I feel that that reward is already being given as we speak. It is being given to those who speak out, as he has. And that there is no greater satisfaction in life. We cannot just be animals to breed and feed and be satisfied that we are comfortable till we die. If that was the purpose of life, I don't think we would be really human, nor would we be what we were made to be. And so I have just the word of my own experience, I suppose, that says you can't live a better life than we're doing right now in speaking out for the truth. As the Canadian Armed Forces said, commercial says, there's no life like it.
When we fight for what is right, we will never, ever be destroyed. No battle is ever lost unless we surrender. And we are the people who have not surrendered the freedoms that others fought and died for. We have not surrendered them yet. We can fight for them, and we will not surrender them in the future. And we will never, as long as we fight, we will never be destroyed. Thank you.
Freedom is really the only way for man to find truth. Because it isn't one truth that only one person can know, it's a truth we all have to find, and therefore freedom is everybody's business. We're the descendants of those people who really fought for freedom. We've had it given to us real easily. We've never really had to fight, I guess, since 1945. I suppose at that time, most young men thought they were fighting for freedom. That's what they were told. And God knows we wouldn't want to question that now, would we? Well, maybe we would. Maybe we should. But if we don't have freedom now to question what they were doing and why, then what were they fighting for? I remember asking my dad from the day I was able to think, why did you go to the Second World War? What were you fighting for? And to be frank about it, I don't think my father could ever really come up with a real good answer. But freedom, I could understand that. And if it's true, it was a good reason. Well, freedom is what we're all about, because we're descended from those people who fought for it. And if we have any allegiance to what they lived and died for, then we too must fight for it. History has not been made by great masses of people instantly coming to a realization of the truth. History has always depended on a few courageous individuals who stood against the tide of ignorance in history, who dared to stand for their principles and fight for them, and who did not and would not surrender to what they knew to be wrong. So if that spirit of dedication, that spirit of love of truth, that spirit of honor and dignity exists in us, then there still is hope. Freedom of speech must survive, must prevail, because without freedom you cannot have truth, without truth you cannot have justice, without justice you cannot have peace. So those are all interrelated.
I was the defense lawyer in Canada's first war crimes trial. On May 25th this year, after 8 months of court proceedings, a jury of 8 women and 4 men found Imre Finta not guilty of 4 counts of war crimes and 4 counts of crimes against humanity. My experience as defense counsel in the first war crimes trial under these laws, similar to those proposed by your government here, gives me unique information to share with you. They are absurd, in my opinion.
The enemies of freedom have money, they have time, they have patience. We have no money, we've got the same amount of time, we've got to have twice the patience. And when we do, and when we don't give up, we can win. We do win. Because truth is far mightier than money. Truth
in the end, we'll win.
Now, there's some things we control and some things we don't control. But the law has to try and maintain peace and order in society. And that's the level at which I think I operate.
Well, that's your opinion, my lord. I don't know what I can say. If there was a question, I'd address it, but I take there is no question.
Is that the point that we have to address, to my mind, is whether there was evidence to support this finding of a poisonous environment.
Well, there wasn't.
Well, I know that is your submission.
Well, no. Can my learned friends, have they pointed to you to any evidence of a poisoned atmosphere other than the opinion of Mr. Bruce that it may be so, and his view that it was so? Excuse me. He says it was poisoned, all right?
And he had no doubt about that.
Oh, well, fine. He can make the judgment without evidence, then, I take it. And that's satisfactory.
Well, that's your statement that there was no evidence. Well, but of course, okay, there was certain evidence.
I take the word poison.
We're all aware of.
Okay, I take the word poison to mean something which has an effect. If you want to use the word poison in the abstract, it is the judgment of someone that this water is poisoned. I drink it, it's poison, but it has no effect. You can call it poison, but do you have any evidence for that? Is that a substantial and pressing concern if it has no effect? Where is the effect? After innumerable inquiries in the district of any possible effect, every shred of evidence indicated not one person was treated differently in Mr. Ross's school by Mr. Ross or felt differently in Mr. Ross's school by Mr. Ross. And the only evidence was that then of Yona Addis and her cousin, Lee Lamford. And what were they? They're talking about another school where Mr. Ross never was, never appeared, not one word that any of his writings ever was read by anybody there. And because someone there says something about Jews, Mr. Ross should be blamed. Now, that is not logical or rationally connected to any of Mr. Ross's writings. So I'm saying if you want to justify it under Section 1 as a rationally connected, demonstrably justifiable limit, there's no reason how you can say, I mean, Court, if you mean poison, as I say in the abstract, I don't like this, therefore it's poison. Well, there's just no way you can answer that. But it isn't a Section 1 justification in my submission.
We have clear knowledge that if we don't do this, we only get weaker. We only will get weaker tomorrow. This tyranny is growing. It's not diminishing. It is not something that's going to go away. There is no easy solution. There is no quick fix. That we got this way over a long period of time, being apathetic, indifferent, and contemptuous of other people's problems, saying, I'm all right, to hell with you. You probably deserve to get all that bad press because you opened your mouth, right? That's what we say about most people who get in trouble. And it's so easy to do. And that process of looking after me too is, what's that? What's that? Do you know what that is? That's isolation. And that's the first step to alienation and criminalization. Because if they can do that to you, they can do that to your neighbor. And gradually, we all sit in fear in our homes, waiting for our pension check, wondering if somebody's watching whether we got more money than the last guy, and whether Grant Bristow's next cousin is listening to our telephone. We live in terror.
I have a solution, and it's you. And it's me. And we have within us the power to be free, the power to laugh, the power to cry, the power to put the world at naught. And that is by being within our spirit free, and by knowing that we have the power within us to communicate love and truth, and fearlessly to do so. And that's why this little vehicle of these little video commentaries and vignettes have meant so much to me, that I might communicate with you the knowledge that you can be set free. And when you're not sure what to do, follow your dreams, follow your heart. Do what you know to be in the interests of truth and justice and freedom. And by being so courageous, you will find within yourself the knowledge of what God put there. And a lot of times you wonder, well, how can I do this? How can I ever hope to be able to communicate fearlessly when I have fear? Well, my friends, the simple truth is that you can put your hand into the hand of God and it shall be better for you than any known way. And I don't mean by that the blind following of some religious cult, but I do mean that the faith that lies within you to do that which you know to be right. Follow your conscience, follow your dreams, and put the world at naught. And by that I mean don't worry about what others think. The power of disapprobation has been so often the vehicle of suppression and of the elimination of the very spirit of divine truth that lies within us. We all know it's there, and we all sometimes try to ignore it, and we all at times try to evade the responsibility to be true to ourselves and to God, and yet it still lies within us to do that at any moment, and to put all those powers that try to control us, the tax department, the politicians, the media, it is all meaningless when we listen to the little voice within us that says, the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And I have, over my life, come to realize that when you do the right thing, money, the means to do it, and the people to help you do it will come. So I just want to extend that message of hope, of joy, of purpose, of peace to you, and to each of you, a very pleasant summer and spring. It's very pleasant here. You can see the rock walls. I built those rock walls behind me in trying to put away all those thoughts that trouble us from time to time. And when I put one stone upon another and I put the mortar between them, and you can see the results. I mean, it took years to do all this, and I don't do it a lot at a given time, but it's like communicating one stone upon a stone, one day upon a day, and one message of truth and hope upon another, and eventually you build a structure that cannot be destroyed, because the truth will last forever. And that's our great confidence and our great hope. Looks good to see something you've built and know that it'll be there for others to see. Hope you enjoyed this.